You're listening to DottoTech, helping you get the most out of your technology wherever you use it, at home, at school, or at work. Brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. 20 years, the trusted voice of technology in Canada, Steve Dotto.
Hello and welcome to DottoTech. I'm Steve Dotto. We are glad you're joining us this fine day. Art Factora, how are you doing?
I'm loving it.
Are you?
I'm loving life.
It's like summer again.
It is true. I mean, we had a tough, June? I don't even remember anymore. The sun
It seems so up. Long ago.
Yeah.
Rain seems like a foreign item.
Have you
upgraded to iOS 6, which released this week?
I did earlier this morning. I saw someone tweet about it. I forgot that we talked about it last week. And I saw somebody post a picture on the Facebook. And so I was home and I uploaded it. I'm still not sure exactly what the cool features are, but I know the maps has changed.
Yes. Well, there's lots of cool features. You'll discover them.
I know. That's what I'm thinking.
You know, we've got a tremendous show lined up. We're going to be talking iPhone with Gary Ng of iPhoneincanada.ca. We're going to be talking about the ramp up. 2 million iPhone 5 sold in the first 24 hours are up for sale.
Jeez.
And we're going to be talking to him about that. It was just a staggering number.
So where are all the cheap iPhone 4Ss?
Well, actually, you know, we're going to be talking prices and selling because eBay is jumping on the bandwagon. They've partnered up with Staples, and Megan Vickle, the PR manager of eBay Canada, is going to be talking to us. They have a site where you can go, you can just enter your smartphone information, and they'll give you cash for it. So you don't have to go to Craigslist. You don't have to try and sell it in an auction on eBay. It's just you can sell it now for a variety of smartphones. Pretty cool product. Pretty cool idea.
Are they going to take like a piece off the top?
Yeah, I'm sure they take some, but they tell you how much you get. They don't tell you how much you get minus 15%. They tell you exactly how much you get as long as you're honest about the condition that the phone is in. And there's a certain class of phone that they're interested in. So if your phone's one of those, which an iPhone 4S certainly would be, you can go there. You can take a look. You can see what you can get. I'm suspecting you could get about $400 for your phone right now.
Ooh. I was in Seattle yesterday, mm-hmm. and I was looking around for an iPad. And I don't want the newest. I just want the best deal on anything. I think I would even go for an iPad, like the original iPad.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that, you know, with the iPhone 5 coming out, you know, the word about a new iPad eventually coming out, I just want a great deal.
So you want an iPad. You don't want the iPhone 5.
I've already got the 4S. You know what? Five? I'll wait for 5.5. 5T or whatever the next one is going to be.
We've also got Mike Vardy coming on the show today. Mike is our productivity expert, editor at Lifehack. Julian Saunders from London Drugs. And next week is Social Media Week in Canada. And Mina Sandhu is coming on as well to talk to us about that. So we've got a pretty great show lined up. Now, I want to send people to our website because I've got a new video up about phishing attacks. Do you know what phishing is?
Yes. You're talking. No, you're not talking about the bait.
No,
like
I'm not
lake.
Talking about phishing with a line, you're with talking, an F. Phishing with a PH.
Yes.
This is where you get an email from, it looks like a trusted source, your bank, something like that. And it says there's something going on with your account. Click here. I've noticed an increasing number. And what happens if you click there is you're taken to a bogus site that captures your log-on information, and it probably passes just straight through to the real site, so you never know you've been duped. But this is where personal privacy and personal information is compromised. It's one place, and phishing attacks are quite nefarious because they look like they're coming from trusted sources. I've noticed an increased number of them coming to me looking like they're coming from LinkedIn.
Oh.
And so I did a video on it just to talk people through it so that they can understand exactly what the issues are. So I want to send people to our site to talk about that. But I think we should begin things by having a little bit of fun talking about what's happening with the iPhone 5. With Apple taking over almost all the news cycles last week with the launch of the iPhone, I imagine Gary Ng has been a busy boy. His website, iPhoneincanada.ca, is about all things mobility, but specifically the iPhone. How are you doing, Gary?
I'm doing well, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Has it been a busy week for you?
Oh, it's been screaming busy. There's been lots of news going on with iPhone 5 pre-orders from Apple and our carriers in Canada, so mm-hmm. it's been very, very busy.
So let's go in the Wayback Machine to Wednesday when Apple had all of their announcements. Now, how did you follow the keynote?
I was just following some of the live blogs, such as Engadget and The Verge.
Yeah.
They have pretty amazing live coverage, so I was just following it that way in real time and on Twitter as well.
Yeah, it was. I did pretty much the same thing. I tried to keep working and just tried to keep it streaming in the side, and you know, kind of perked up when interesting things came forward. And I guess the biggest news for most people was that there wasn't any big news. Apple didn't surprise anybody with anything with this iPhone.
Yeah, they stuck to their conservative plan, and basically it was just another iteration of the iPhone, mm-hmm. Essentially tweaking it to be more powerful, thinner and lighter, and with a larger screen. I think on the outside, some may think that, you know, it's not a big upgrade, but I'm going to hold judgment until, you know, I get hands on with the iPhone 5 and just, you know, really see how much faster it's going to be.
Now, did you get in? How did you manage to do on the pre-order? Did you try and pre-order, first of all, or did you get in before they were sold out?
I did pre-order. I was one of those people up at midnight waiting for the the pre-order page to go live. I ended up getting a 32 GB in black, and that's apparently preparing for shipment right now. And soon after, 1 hour later or so, the initial pre-orders sold out. What was interesting about this time around was that the Apple Store application on your iPhone and iPad, that actually worked very well for people punching in their pre-orders. So that was quite a surprise.
Oh, okay. So now Apple said they're sold out. Have they given us numbers that they've sold out with online? Or is this, do you think this might be a little bit of an artificial shortage so they would sell out really fast so they would get lots of, oh, wow, they sold out almost instantly?
Yeah, well, actually, Apple released an official statement yesterday. They said in the first 24 hours, they sold 2 million iPhones, which is pretty impressive considering last year with the iPhone 4S. They announced after the following weekend they only sold 4 million, and that was after 3 days. So 2 million phones sold in 24 hours, I'd say, you know, customers have spoken with their wallets.
Which is surprising. I mean, I think the thing that is causing a little bit of confusion in the marketplace is the press has been lukewarm about this iPhone, but the public doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, I don't know if it's about just trying to get headlines or what, but I mean, it's, you know, everyone wants to be a critic. It's easy to criticize, but now that the sales numbers have been out, you know, it's really hard to sway away from 2 million pre-orders.
Mm-hmm.
I think once people get hands-on with the device, I think, you know, they'll change their mind about it. I know a lot of people are still, you know, comparing it to the Samsung Galaxy S3. Recently, Samsung came out with a pretty hilarious ad comparing the S3 to the iPhone.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. What do they do?
Basically, there's the iPhone and the S3 side by side, and there's a column of features, but the iPhone side, it's kind of like half the amount of features compared to the S3, and there's a nice headline that says it doesn't take a genius.
The
S3, so that was pretty funny.
Now, were any of those on the... Now, the Samsung Galaxy S3, we got to give props where props are due. It's a gorgeous phone. It is a great phone, and doing quite well in the marketplace, and people that have it like it a lot. Were there any features that were there that were compelling? I can't think of anything that the iPhone doesn't have that the Galaxy does.
Other than the larger screen and... the Android operating system, I mean, there's nothing wrong with the S3. It's a great phone. It just really depends on, you know, what users really want to do with their phone.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say in terms of the build quality, you know, you have a plastic casing with the S3 versus aluminum and glass with the iPhone. A lot of the early hands-on reviewers have noted they felt that was a bit better build quality.
There's a different feel to the iPhone than almost all of the other than every other phone on the planet as far as it goes. So let's go through. What about the Canadian angle? Because our carriers had to be thrilled with the feature set.
Yeah, I mean, they actually set up pre-orders once again, just like last year with the iPhone 4S, and people were able to pre-order online with Rogers and Fido. Also with Bell, they could do it in-store or on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, we got a statement from all three of them. They didn't give out any numbers, but some of them have stopped initial pre-orders. They just basically have sold out as well. And they've been pretty happy with pre-orders.
And they also have to be all happy with the LTE support built in, because they've invested, the Canadian carriers have invested a fair bit in that.
Yeah, and I mean, as much flack as we give the carriers for all these, you know, outrageous fees and hidden charges and whatnot, I think they've done a really good job with their LTE networks. I've tested it out on the new iPad, and the speeds are definitely blazing. It'd be interesting to see if the speeds will be affected once millions of iPhone 5s hit the network. I remember when I first got the iPhone 3G, the 3G networks are really fast, but compare them to today, they're just really, really slow.
but the thing about LTE,
it's just too congested.
But LTE is faster than most people's home wireless. I mean, their home network, and it's going to take quite a bit of congestion before it gets slower than what we're getting. Mind you, we are in the dark ages as far as internet speed, terrestrial internet speed here in Canada. Of the feature set, what are you most interested in? Like, when you get your new iPhone, is it just going to be the big screen? What is it that you're looking forward to?
I'm just looking forward to they said that there's a new A6 chip in there, which is about 50% faster than the A5. So I want to see the overall performance of the operating system. And actually, the camera is supposed to be improved. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Now, it's interesting. They say they've improved the camera, but we had a good chat with John Beeler last week about this, who's quite the photography expert. And he says that because it's thinner, they've had to upgrade what they can do with it, but the specs are very similar. So it's a thinner camera that they can do pretty much the same with, although there are some extra filters and there's some extra small features, but the camera quality, the resolution is probably going to be a net neutral over the 4S.
Yeah, they've had to do a few tweaks with the 8-megapixel camera. I think there's going to be a bit better low light performance.
Yeah, that also,
and also because of the new processing A6 chip, it's going to be, they claim it's going to be 40% faster to take a photo. And we all know that, you know, when you want to take a photo at that very moment, you want your camera to load. So with the 4S, you know, it was fast, but of course there was still that, you know, bit of a delay. Hopefully this time it'll just be an instant photo taking.
Yeah, it's supposed to be faster as far as the photo taking, so we don't have that delay. Now, what about battery life? Are you concerned having now LTE, faster processor? Are you concerned about the battery life?
Yeah, this was one of my biggest concerns. After seeing all those initial LTE smartphones that came out in the very beginning, those Android phones, and how some of them couldn't even keep up with the battery drain even when plugged in. So that was always a concern in the back of my mind. But this time around, Apple was able to actually increase the battery life compared to the iPhone 4S. And this is with LTE, a larger screen, and a faster processor. So I think that's a real testament to what the Apple engineers have been able to do in such a small form factor.
And they do have a little more space now with a taller screen for a slightly larger battery. And that's one thing Apple, I'm going to give Apple credit where the credit's due. They have always been quite accurate with their estimates of battery life on all of their devices.
Yeah, it's conservative, but you know, if you search up any review of any device, most of the reviewers have been able to either exceed or match the battery life. For example, with the first iPad, a lot of reviewers actually got more battery life than what was stated by Apple.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to be interested to see if people start changing their data plans because of this phone. Because now having LTE, when you go to Starbucks and have a coffee and you sign into Starbucks network, and versus the speed that you can get out of tethering to your phone, I'm wondering if people are just going to start to issue the free Wi-Fi that's out there available and just bump up their plans, because they're going to be used to having such fast internet access at wireless.
Yeah. I think if, you know, you're someone that streams a lot of video, you might want to just be wary, because I know a lot of the websites, they determine your video quality based on your network speed. So if you're able to download quickly, it might, you know, give you the HD stream all the time. Mm. If you have a 500 megabyte data plan,
you shouldn't be watching video if you have a 500 megabyte data plan,
right?
My friend.
So I think, you know, for the first, you know, couple months, people will be wary. But I know a lot of the carriers, they have new, you know, six, they've brought back the 6 gigabyte data plan. It's, you know, some voice and data promos that are going on. So there's lots of opportunities to upgrade if you are concerned.
Okay, so now you're pre-ordered. You say it's in the shipping queue. I heard some horror stories last year of people who had pre-ordered their phones and they took forever to get to them. Are you confident you're going to have yours on Friday?
I am, because according to Apple, they have this estimated delivery date map that they've released. And basically, it just says that if you're in one of the major urban areas, which they call a delivery zone one, you are supposed to get the phone on launch date. On launch day, if your delivery date says September 21st to the 25th. When I pre-ordered the iPad 3 and the iPhone 4S, I received them both on launch day, so I didn't have a problem. Some people did have to wait over the weekend. Right now, it's kind of the luck of the draw. I'm just hoping for the best.
So just out of curiosity, what are you doing with your 4S?
Well, it's going to my lovely wife. She
Oh, you hand-me-downs?
Yeah, she gets the hand-me-down. She's pretty excited.
What was she using before?
She's using the iPhone 4.
So she gets one after you each time.
Yeah, and she's okay with that. So,
well, you know something? Are you fairly newlywed?
It's been almost 4 years now.
Okay, it's still too early. This will ultimately come back to haunt you. I'm just giving you a piece of old dude advice.
Well, you know what? We recently both bought the new MacBook Airs each. So
okay, so she does have some current technology as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay. Gary Ng is the editor of iPhoneinCanada.ca, and I'm going to get you back on maybe 2 weeks from now. We'll go 2 weeks once you've got the phone, and we'll have a chat and see how you like it.
Yeah, let's do it again.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Gary.
All right, thanks.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
With the launch of the iPhone 5, a lot of people are wondering what to do with that old iPhone, and perhaps with that old phone because you want to switch over to the iPhone. Well, eBay has an idea. They have an instant sale option where you can actually go to the eBay site and get an instant quote where you don't have to actually post it to sell it, but they will purchase it from you and then repurpose the iPhone. Joining me online now is Megan Vickle. She is the PR manager for eBay Canada. How are you doing, Megan?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This is an interesting idea because a lot of people are going through the decision-making process right now of, I really want that new iPhone, and I got to get rid of my old phone quick. So they're jumping on Craigslist or other things, and they're having to go through that whole sales cycle. But you've got a fast track for them.
Absolutely. So, like you said, a lot of people are going to other sites to trade in and try and get a great price for their old electronic devices. But what eBay Instant Sale does for you is it gives you a very quick and easy way for you to get the most value for the least amount of time on your old electronic devices. So now until September 24th, we're doing a 20% promotion on select smartphone devices. Everything from iPhones, Samsungs, Blackberries, you name it, it's on there. So it's essentially eBay Instant Sale Program. It's an online tool that makes you a cash offer on unwanted devices in less than 60 seconds.
So who are you? Where does the phone go once you've sold it? Who are you doing this with?
We are partnering with Staples Canada, who will buy the device from you through instantsale.ebay.ca. Mm-hmm. They then refurbish and resell the devices. Mm-hmm. And the nice green aspect about all of this is if they can't repair the phone, then they'll recycle it, and then nothing goes to the landfill.
Okay, so this is even for broken and old phones. So this is for phones that are in great shape, phones that are in moderate shape, and phones that are in not working shape.
That's correct. So any way, shape, or form that device is in, we will take it for you, and we will make sure that it's either resold from Staples Canada or it goes straight into the recycling. No landfill at all.
So the process is pretty simple. I've played with it already quickly myself. As I just entered an iPhone 4, I put in a 32-gig iPhone 4, and it came back immediately with a bid of around $185 or $190 for me. Does that price that it's giving me include the 20% that you're offering?
That's correct. If it is one, it will self-identify on the instant sale site there for you if it is one of the 36 smartphones that we're currently accepting with the 20% promotion. Okay. So like you've done, which many other consumers will do, is they'll go on to the site, identify it, get the offer. accept the offer and the cash value that we are offering, and they'll receive a free shipping label to ship it in. Once it gets into Staples' hands, what they'll do is they'll do a comparison of what you've identified as that device's condition against what in fact they believe it to be. Mm-hmm. And so long as, you know, it's relatively the same, you'll receive the money into your PayPal account within 5 business days.
And does this only work by PayPal, or will you issue a check as well?
No, it's only through PayPal. So okay. What you need to take advantage of this offer right now is you'll need an eBay account as well as a PayPal account.
If you have both of those accounts and you have an old piece of an older phone, this is a great way to sell it without having to go through the process of having to meet some stranger and having them look at your phone and determine exactly what's going on and all those sorts of things. Now, do you guys give any advice to people as far as wiping data off their phone before they send it in or anything like that?
Yeah, you know, that's a fantastic question. I'm glad you asked me. We encourage everyone as a best practice, whether you're giving the device to a friend, whether you're trading in, or if you're recycling and disposing of it yourself, we always suggest that you go to the settings function in your phone and wipe clean that device before you put it anywhere.
And this is for BlackBerries, for Samsungs, for Apple iPhones. You've got it all covered right now. There's about 64 phones that you're interested in?
It's 36 devices that we're accepting 36. Right now with the 20% promotion. So, for example, a 64-gig Apple iPhone 4S, you can get up to $400, which is pretty fantastic.
It is. And especially since it's very low impact as far as how much energy you have to put into actually making the sale. Instantsale.ebay.ca is the address to go to. We will, of course, add that post onto our site. Megan Vickel is the PR manager for eBay Canada. Thank you, Megan.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Steve.
Joining me online now, as he does on a monthly basis, is our guru of life skills, Mike Vardy. He is the editor at lifehack.org, a site dedicated to helping us all become more productive. How are you doing, Mike?
Doing great. How about yourself, Steve?
I'm doing pretty darn well. What were the top stories last month as far as personal productivity? Because I got to tell you, August for me, not a really productive month. September's got to be better.
Yeah, summer. I mean, the funny thing about summer is you always wrap up summer or get into summer, and there's hardly any, you know, time that people really spend getting productive. It's more of the leisure time. One of the top articles, actually, because during this time of year, most people sit back and kind of reflect, and they're enjoying life. So one of the top articles was one called "Why Everyone Should Write a Manifesto."
Manifesto sounds so daunting.
Yeah, and the thing is that when we think of manifestos, online they're huge, especially in this sort of the life skill, life hack kind of element, because so many people are thinking about the old school manifestos that sound harsh and rigid and stuff. And I mean, I think a lot of people, you know, are using them now as kind of almost like a mission statement.
Is this part and parcel of social media's new personal branding? The fact that you have an online brand, and for us as individuals to identify and clearly state what we believe in is as important as a business?
I think so. I think it has a lot to do with that. I think touchstones are important because so many people get caught up in all the information coming their way. And I think having this is like a touchstone. I mean, I've even written one on my own site called The Way of the Productivityist. And I think it's one of those things where it kind of gives you sort of a set of guidelines or of rules that you need to kind of keep in touch with either what you want to be doing or who you are.
And there's a little bit of a cheat sheet here, which allows you to fill in the blanks. I believe that everyone, blank. Mm-hmm. I believe it's important to, blank. In my world, people treat each other, blank. So the author's given us a starting point.
Yes, yes. And that's the great part about it. And you see a lot of, like on Pinterest and stuff, you see a lot of these posterized manifestos where they're all artistically and well designed, they're completed in that fashion. Or you see ebooks. A lot of people are putting their manifestos into ebooks and stuff. So I think that you can find a slew of them. I know we've done a few posts at Lifehack where we talk about all the manifestos that are out there.
Mm. Now, are people using them? Are they linking their LinkedIn profiles to them so that from that perspective, are they using them that overtly?
In a lot of cases, yes. You'll find my favorite articles, and they would list their manifesto, or on their website, definitely for sure, you'll see either in the sidebar or one of their top posts would be like, "Check out my manifesto," or "Check out my blank manifesto."
Manifesto is such a
dreary word, though. I think because it reminds us of, you know, of grade 10 social studies and when we had to write reports.
I think they're trying to claim back the word and make it better than what people were, you know, used to think of it as. So I think that I think honestly, for a lot of people, it's better than saying mission statement.
Yes, well, and it's more personal, you know, and it does, and it is interesting in this world. You know, we've done interviews with people talking about how important LinkedIn is as not as a it's your permanent online resume. And right. As we develop personal brands online, something like this is a healthy exercise.
And another, speaking of brands online, TED Talks.
Yes. Oh, everybody loves the TED Talks. Everybody who's visited them loves the TED Talks.
So we did a post this month called The Top 20 TED Talks That Can Improve Your Life.
Oh.
And there are several, including some that were done right within, you know, right in our neck of the woods. I've got one from TEDx Victoria, Dave Moore. Who's from Vancouver, and he did one called The Way of Improvisation. So he did a talk, and I know we recently saw each other. You did a talk here in Victoria, and so you see a lot of these talks that are you know, becoming very personal, and I think TED is one of those brands that kind of lets that come out. They talk about, you know, technology, entertainment, design, but there's a resonance there. And so when it comes to lifestyle design stuff, there's a lot of these talks make a lot of sense for check out.
And what people need to understand about TED Talks, if they haven't listened to them, is they are not long talks. They're all condensed talks. The speakers are given a very short period of time that they have to make their point. So this is just the speaker's absolute best points from some of the top speakers in the world.
Absolutely. And I mean, they can range, I think the longest you can do is 16 or 17 minutes. And the rest of them are all generally, you know, there's some that are 3 minutes long.
And you've done a good job of filtering them out. I see way down at number 17, John Wooden, The Difference Between Winning and Succeeding. I don't think a lot of people that are into tech might know who John Wooden is, but the legendary coach of UCLA for all those years is just an incredible spirit. And so his sort of talk, I'm going to have a listen.
Absolutely. It's one of those posts that I was really happy to get out there, because I think during summer, a lot of people want to spend time, like I said, reflecting, figuring out what they want to do when the new year starts for them, being school year, being, you know, the work year, what have you. So I think that those two posts in particular, the manifesto and the TED Talk post, are ones that are nice, good summer posts.
You know, you've been awfully heavy and awfully philosophical with your top picks this week. Can you give us something a little more practical?
Why don't we go and talk about the 26 free cross-platform productivity apps to help you get things that work?
that's a mouthful. So what is that?
We hear a lot, especially, you know, there's a lot of Mac tools out there.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't generally talk about the ones that can work no matter what machine you're working on. So for example, at home, we have a Mac, and we're pretty much a Mac household, but my wife at her office has a PC. So when we're trying to do, you know, any kind of meaningful, you know, teamwork stuff, it becomes a challenge. And the same thing happens as the editor of Lifehack. I have to, you know, deal with people who both have PCs and Macs, and some are even using Linux. So these are all cross-platform apps that you can use that are based either online or have been made native for all of the platforms. So Google Docs or Google Drive would be a classic example of that. You know, things, Evernote, which I know you've talked about before, and it's one of those ones where I think that if you're not using Evernote, wow.
it is the monster app as far as it's the one that changes the way people do things the most of all the apps.
I mean, Asana is one I've talked about here before, and that's another thing that's based on the web, and it's cross-platform as well.
And that's one that you really use. And Asana, and I wouldn't mind touching on that. We should actually book a chat just on Asana, because for managing groups over distance, that's the tool, because you have to manage a wide spectrum of writers in different time zones and different lands. You've never seen face-to-face half the people who work for you. So this is the product you use in order to keep everybody on task, right?
Right, and the other thing is that the people who run Lifehack I've never met before, so my communicating to me via Asana what they'd like to see happen and stuff. So it becomes this great sort of I wouldn't say water, but almost like a meeting room or the office, really, where we can kind of, you know, work and get things done. So I mean, that's But there's 26 of them here, so you got a lot.
I have a question for you about one, because it's one that I haven't played with yet, and it's one that I feel like I'm behind the curve on it, because I use Google Docs, now Google Drive, so much. But Microsoft has their web apps up. Are they getting some traction?
They are. They are, especially with 2013 coming out and all that. I mean, I think there's a lot more people paying more attention to it. I know we've done a couple of things. One of our writers, Will Kelly, has talked a bit about the new Office that's coming out. And they are, Microsoft's making some waves with it. It's still pretty early in the game, and I know that he had the preview to play with, so it's hard to say what is necessarily going to totally catch traction, but people are wondering and paying attention as to what Microsoft's next move is when it comes to Office. And at Lifehack, it's one of the areas we're going to explore once it comes out and you can talk about it more freely. We're going to have a lot more posts about Office 2013 because, let's face it, there's a lot of people that are using Office to not only get their work done, but to kind of communicate amongst their environment as well via email, via, you know, what have you. So it's on the horizon, that's for sure.
And just as classes are opening up, you also have a post in here, 17 back-to-school life hacks to start your semester.
Our associate editor, C.M. Smith, wrote this post, and it was one of those ones where, the great thing about having a site like Lifehack that's been around for, you know, several years is that we have a backlog of posts that allows people, whether they're students or what have you, are able to go back and say, hey, how can I get more done no matter what I do? So he talks about some of the best life hacks we have.
It's interesting. Number two is to police your own time with Rescue Time. And we did a video on Rescue Time, which I find a really interesting app that basically monitors your use of the computer and tells you when you're being productive and when you're not, which can be an eye-opener for a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, I mean, keeping a reading journal. I know keeping a journal is a big thing. I use Day One a lot right now to journal. And this is one of those things, like keep an academic reading journal so you can keep track of, because, I mean, it's a busy time for students where they're, you know, everything's coming at them. So if you can journalize what you're learning, how you're feeling, all that stuff, that's one of the life hacks that he's gotten here. And he's got some, you know, some notes. Again, Evernote makes an appearance in here.
It does everywhere.
Little things that students can use. And, I mean, we're talking high school, you know, college, university. But some of this stuff can translate directly to people who are just, you know, going to night school, just, you know, trying to learn a new skill, you know, and how do I keep tabs on these other things that I'm doing? So anything that can make that simpler, one or many or all of these little life hacks can help you out.
Lifehack.org is the site. It is the site that teaches us all about those little productivity and life skills, mostly based through technology, but occasionally they get the odd philosophical bent as well. Mike Vardy is the editor. You can also find his work at mikevardy.com. Is that the right site, Mike?
Correct. And I'm at Mike Vardy on Twitter. So if you want to connect with me there, feel free.
Absolutely. Thanks for your time, Mike.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
Just before we catch up with Julian Saunders, a reminder that it's Slingbox September. A lot of S's going. We're giving away several Sling Boxes this September here on Dottotech. We're giving a Sling Box Pro HD plus a Sling Link, or a Sling Box Solo and Sling Link, which is even more S's. But drop by our website at dottotech.com. There you can enter to win the Sling Box, which will, of course, give you access to your TV everywhere you are. It's spectacular.
Do you have a comment or question for Dottotech? Visit our website at dottotech.com and click on Contact Us. Dottotech is brought to you by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. Now, back to Steve.
Joining me online now, all the way from, is it Saskatoon or Regina?
Saskatoon?
I thought it was Saskatoon. Julian Saunders, with a computer expert with London Drugs. Julian, I want to talk today about cloud computing and wireless apps and devices from D-Link.
Sounds fun.
Well, that's what you sent me an email that we were going to talk about, so I'm happy to do it because it's actually very cool stuff.
Yes, yeah, there's a bunch of new ones that make it a lot easier to use a lot of different features now that used to be very complicated to set up.
So tell me first about this new webcam that they've got, or this new, is it a wireless webcam?
Yeah, it's there's two of them. So they're basically a wireless webcam that you can just plug into the wall for power, mm-hmm. and then it finds your wireless network. And rather than go through a complicated setup that you need a bunch of numbers for, you just it finds it on the network, and you just you can use your smartphone or a web app on your computer, and then you can easily see everything and control it, even a bit of Zoom capabilities.
Now, what's the product name and what's it called?
The D-Link network camera. There's two models. There's a night vision, that's the 1100 cloud camera, and then there's the 1000, which is the just regular non-night vision.
Okay, so it's just I'm just looking them up here. What was the model number of the first one?
The D-Link cloud camera 1100. Okay, it's the DCS932L.
Okay, there it is. I see it. So what's the price? What's the price point of this thing, first of all?
Regular price on the night vision is $119, and the daylight only one is $89.99.
Now, are these designed as a security device?
They have two primary purposes. One of them is security. They can motion sense. So the idea with motion sensing is, say you set it up at your doorway, it'll trigger an alarm on your smartphone when your door moves.
Okay.
So your phone will buzz when your door opens.
And then with the camera, you can watch the people rob your house.
Exactly, yeah. And also for use with children. You can have one in your child's bedroom pointing towards the crib, and you can easily monitor them with video. Goes a step above anything else, because you can access it remotely without a lot of technical knowledge. You can use it for monitoring babysitters,
so
that kind of thing,
nanny cam, that sort of thing. Hey, actually, you know, I actually did something like this to help train my dog.
That I need to hear.
Well, he used to grab stuff off of our dresser. And he would think that he could do that I just used Apple's EyeSight camera and set it up with FaceTime so that I could see it. And then when he went to get up, I yelled at him, and he heard me yelling at him through the computer, and he doesn't jump up anymore. It works.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, it's motion sensing, right? So you could have upgraded to this one, and then you can monitor, see what the cats are up to when you're not at home, you know?
Now, does it requires an internet connection. So this isn't going to capture images. This isn't like a trail cam type security camera where it's going to capture information to a card. It's always the only place that it's got storage is somewhere in the cloud on the internet.
That's right, yeah, and you can even configure it to do local storage. So if you have a computer at home that's always on, it can save captures to your computer.
Now, have you set this up, Julian?
Yeah, I have played with it, yeah.
Because in the past I've played with these, and they aren't that easy to use quite often. Is this one easy to use?
Very, yeah. I actually used the generation right before it, and it was pretty complicated. It had a special disk that you couldn't lose. It was one of the only pieces that you couldn't just download the software off of a website. And you basically, once you've plugged it in, there's a WPS button on the back, which I tried first, and that one set up in less than 30 seconds. WPS is a secure setup that your router and your device pair with at the same time. So I reset it and tried it again if somebody didn't have WPS to see what they would go through. And all you need is one number, which is either on the sticker that's inside the box, on the camera, and it's not very long. You just have to enter it to make sure that you're using your camera and not maybe your neighbor's or somebody else with one.
Okay. So next up, you have a pocket companion, you're calling it.
Yeah, this is kind of I like calling it a network ninja pocket companion because it's got a lot of features.
Okay.
So it's a little white brick. It's a little bit smaller than most Apple laptop power bricks.
Okay.
And it basically has a wired Ethernet port and a USB port.
Okay.
So if you, say, are traveling a lot and some hotels aren't keeping up with the times, they haven't modernized to Wi-Fi yet, they only give you a wired connection, you can plug this guy in the wall, pop your cord in, and have a easy wireless access in your hotel room.
So this works very much like Apple's AirPort Express.
Right. And it also can be act as a repeater when you're at home.
Mm-hmm.
One of its extra features is the USB port not only allows you to share something like a printer, which is on the airport, or a hard drive, but it'll also allow you to stream the content that's on that drive to any device on the network. So say you have a hard drive with movies and photos on it, you can plug it into the D-Link Pocket Companion and then pull them up on anything, even something without a USB port like an iPad.
In a lot of people's houses, you're going to find you've got dead spots where the internet does not seem, the Wi-Fi seems to be spotty or not work as well. And in that case, you want a repeater of some sort. If you're on the Apple, if you've got an Apple network, you're probably going to get the Apple Airport Express. But this D-Link repeater is, they are worth their weight in gold as far as frustration, as far as I'm concerned, by just boosting your signal through the house. And what's the, how much do they cost?
Regular price is $69.99, and they're on promotion for quite a while until the end of September, or middle of October, sorry, for $49.99.
Oh, that's a deal. And also, for people who have computers that don't have Ethernet ports on their notebooks, the idea of being in your hotel room and be able to plug into the wired Ethernet connection, if that's what you have in the hotel room, and then be able to access it, especially if you've got one of Apple's notebooks that don't have an Ethernet port. That's a great way to...
Yeah, or most Ultrabooks, too. You need to remember to bring your Ethernet adapter on the Ultrabook line.
And if you want to use your iPad on the road in your hotel room.
You got it, yeah.
You need this
Companion app that goes with it to set up. So basically the idea is you have a smartphone app to set it up really quick.
Okay.
You can mess it around with repeater software until you're blue in the face with some of the ones I've tried. And this guy, you just use the app and you're on in seconds.
I got to tell you, at $49, that's a great, that costs what a power adapter used to cost. You know, if you think power cables cost more than that. So it would be a well worthwhile addition to any traveling kit. I like that one. That's a winner. What's next?
Yep. And the last one is the whole lineup of their new routers. I've been playing around with a couple of the home media streaming routers, and they have very nice modern features with dual band and very nice looks in case you keep it in a place where everybody can see your router. I've never had such a breeze setting up a router as their cloud-based My D-Link services, because basically you just get the app on your phone. I was using an iPhone, and there's a sticker that comes on the device. It's got two numbers on it for security. You enter those two short numbers, and it holds your hand through the setup. It's easier to set up than some apps I've used.
Now, this is, I guess you're talking about this round router, the app-enabled N600. Is that the one you're talking about specifically?
Right, yeah, that's the specific one I've been testing, and it's been one of the better ones for coverage, too. I'm in a townhouse, and there's a lot of conflicts from other wireless networks, and the app was smart enough to detect that the channel that it wanted to use by default was cluttered, and it picked a different channel.
Okay, now, in what's the price of these routers?
There's a few different models, and they started around $49.99.
Yeah, so they're still really inexpensive compared to what they used to be.
But the higher-end dual-band ones are also on for usually $129 is where the dual-band lineup starts, and they usually go on sale for $99.
Now, when you say these are app-enabled, that means that they've got. Does that mean that they have some apps that are running themselves, or is it referring to the fact that you can access it through an app on your iPhone or your iPad?
Right. Yeah, through your iPhone, iPad, or Android device.
Okay. Now, and what about connecting points? They've got obviously Ethernet in, and do they have the ability to plug USB drives into them and be able to stream media, that sort of stuff as well?
They do, yeah. Not the starter price points, but the ones with dual band all have SharePort, they're called. So a USB device can be a printer, a hard drive. You could even plug a USB hub in if you have multiple devices to connect to it.
Now, one of the things that I really like about plugging into my AirPort is the fact that I turn it into a time machine for backing up everybody's data here in the house.
Yep.
Is there good backup services online, a cloud-based backup service that drives through the D-Link?
There is the remote backup enabled service, so it can actually trigger a time machine event, so it acts just like your AirPort does if you're an Apple user. On Windows, it shows up on your computer just as a hard drive would plugged in. It just shows a different connection type, and you can use that with the Windows backup very easily.
With any of your backup tools at that point there.
Yeah.
Julian Saunders, computer expert at London Drugs in Saskatoon. Now, if you're not in Saskatoon, which most of our listeners aren't, they've got other people that know just as much as Julian in your local London Drugs. So drop by and see them. But I like talking to Julian. Thanks, Julian.
And you can always find us on Twitter, too, at LD Computers.
Thanks so much. Julian Saunders.
Dottotech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you. You're listening to Dottotech, brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.
I'm joined on the line now by Mina Sandhu, who is the regional marketing manager for ING Direct. But what we're here to talk about is for the next week, actually all of next week in Vancouver, it's social media week. It's exciting time for all social media folk. Tell me about social media. It's about, what, about 3 or 4 years now there's been a social media week each and every year in a variety of cities across the planet, right?
That's correct. And for Vancouver, it's our second year, actually, participating in social media week.
And is it just for geeks? What's the basis of Social Media Week?
Social Media Week really began with the idea of, if you look at social media itself, sharing information and knowledge. So a group out of New York City decided to do a global conference that began to happen in every city and holding multiple educational workshops, presentations, panels to have leaders in the industry share their knowledge with the public and primarily for free. There's very few paid events in Social Media Week conferences around the world.
So is it really about education or is it about business?
I think they go hand in hand. You have business leaders sharing their stories for those that want to follow suit and perhaps adopt their social media practices. But it also opens a door for networking and for businesses to learn and expand from each other. So every year, people have takeaways.
So you can find the schedule at socialmediaweek.org. It starts on Monday the 24th. And there's a variety of events at all times of day and the evening, correct?
That's correct. And there's still a couple of events being posted. Social Media Week is very, very much crowdsourced. You have events being added up until the day that it starts.
Really? So we can do a Dotto event?
You absolutely can. You absolutely can.
I'd have to.
I would welcome it.
Oh, I have to think about it. I shouldn't have stuck my neck out like that.
Yeah, so you did now.
So give me the highlights for you. Which of the events that you're looking forward to the most? And there's 18 total going on in Vancouver at this point. As we're doing this interview, there might be more already.
Yeah, I know there's a couple of more being added today. The highlight for us, you know, Friday is usually the bigger keynote speakers.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kicking off the morning with Peter Aceto, who's the CEO of ING Direct. He's doing the CEO keynote on Friday morning, followed by the Dragon's Den. And the Dragon's Den is going to be really a lot of fun. So we have three of the dragons in town, and people are able to pitch their ideas. And who knows, they might end up on the next CBC Dragon.
So you're actually gonna let people come in and face the dragons?
Absolutely, if they're daring enough to.
And that's
so actually, we'll have to see how that goes. But I think a lot of people are excited for that one.
That is, but you know, it's there's no spots left for it. I'm looking right now; it's already sold out.
I know. You know what? Some of these events sold out overnight the minute they were posted. For myself personally, I'm actually looking forward to an event that's going to be posted later today. It'll be next Tuesday, and it's the Women in Leadership Summit. So we have some amazing local women CEOs and entrepreneurs that are sharing their stories and their experiences using social. So Judy Brooks is one of them, who started the Blow Dry Salons and numerous other businesses. Sabelle Negres from Web Names, and Lara from Why Yoga. And there might be one other panelist added to that as well. So I think that event's going to be a ton of fun, as well as the media event. The journalist event always intrigues me. So that's a good one on Thursday as well.
The journalist event has Jillian Shaw speaking, old media versus new media. Now, Jillian's going to be on the show today. So is she old? Actually, I think she might be on. We're just still working on the schedule. Is she old or new?
Jillian is borderline, actually. She really
borderline.
Is.
Borderline. So I didn't tell her you just called her borderline.
She is. She is, because she started off in old media, but she's adopted a lot of new media practices, and she does a lot of blogging and tweeting and Facebook updates and Google Plus. So Jillian's going to be a great balance on that panel, because you have Bob from VIA Vancouver is Awesome, who's definitely new media.
Yeah.
And then you've got professors from UBC who represent BBC and CBC. You've got CTV on the panel as well. So I think it's quite diverse. It'll be a fun one.
Well, it's certainly changing the world of media for sure. And there's some verticals making social media work for you and your music. So there's people that are taking real vertical calls. It looks like there's some good introductory sessions as well, where people can kind of get the basis, learning, social media and entertainment, the new game changer. That's probably, a nice introductory thing on how it's working in entertainment.
That's right. That's a good intro one. There is less intro this year than there was last year. So because last year was our first year in Vancouver, and this year it's a little bit more specific, a little bit more niche-oriented.
Now, if somebody feels they have a story to tell and they think that they have the basis of an event, how do they go about contacting you and pitching having an event themselves?
So they can go on to the socialmediaweek.org website and submit an idea. There's a tab to hit the Vancouver page. There's a tab that says Get Involved. So you can go through there. Or, you know what, at this point, I'm welcoming emails to my personal email. You can also email minasandhu@gmail.com. Okay. It's going to end up there regardless. So,
well, you just put it out there for everybody. Don't blame me if you get a bunch of spam now.
Yeah, I know.
Now, why is ING getting involved in this?
Well, ING has been such a social business for the last few years. We adopted YouTube was our first social platform back in 2006, and we launched with a video contest. And slowly over time, especially with changing CEOs, when Peter Aceto came on board, he really adopted social media as another channel for client service, for communication, just for engaging with our market and our demographics. So we've been very active on Twitter and Facebook. We have a regional Twitter page. The CEO has his own Twitter profile. Each major city where we have these cafes has their regional Twitter presence as well. And I've been involved in it for a few years now as well.
So the event is September 24th to 28th. It's in various locations across Vancouver. You can find all the information you need at socialmediaweek.org. And I will certainly pop down to several of the events and maybe, I can't get into the sold out ones. I wish I could pull some strings. But Mina,
you let me know and I'll see what I can do if seats open up.
Excellent, because I want to pitch an idea to the Dragons. I got this great idea.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I need. I need my hopes and dreams crushed. Mina Sandhu is the marketing manager at ING Direct, and she is coordinating one of the big coordinators for Social Media Week. Thanks so much for your time, Mina.
Thank you.
All right, I got to ask you to jump on the internet and go to the site here. It's my new favorite site.
I'm on it.
It's called dog-shaming.com.
Dog-shaming.com.
So I was speaking this weekend in Kelowna, and a woman there showed me the site. And you know how it's popular on Facebook for people to take their kids who have done bad things and have them hold up a sign saying, I took the keys without asking. And this whole shaming thing,
mm-hmm.
This is people doing it with their dogs. And it's not quite as heartrending as seeing somebody doing it with their child, but it's really funny. All these dogs that have done bad things. See, you're laughing.
Well, the best part is that half the dogs look like so sad and they've done wrong to their owner. Or others are just like, meh, you know what? Thanks for taking my picture. I love this.
Well, that's it. They just don't seem to get it. Well, Farley, my dog, it should be shamed because Farley ate Shannon's $200 glasses.
Oh.
He didn't actually digest them. He just chewed them into little pieces. And he's lying there with his head down in the middle of this devastation that was a pair of designer glasses. And he's just... And he's wondering, why is everybody running around so excited?
Yeah.
Why is everybody running?
And they're like, hey, look what I did. I love you so much that I will chew anything that smells like you.
But here's the thing. I saw this site for the first time on Saturday. It's how fast stuff virally goes on the internet. This woman showed it to me. I laughed. I shared it with a few of my friends. I'm sitting in my office today, and my daughter emails me saying, Dad, you got to look at this site. You got to take some pictures of Farley and put them up on the site. And she's in Ontario. And so she sent it through to me. So that's how quick the stuff grows here. It's
a tiny world we live in.
It's dogshaming.com. We're going to have it.
Dog-shaming.com.
And I'll have a link on our site for the show page. Reminder, drop by our website and there, of course, enter to win the sling boxes, which we are giving away. I need to thank all of our guests, and there were a legion of guests today. Gary Ng, Megan Vickel, Mike Vardy, Julian Saunders, and Mina Sandhu. Don't forget, next week is Social Media Week in Vancouver. And if you are in the area, check it out. See if there's something that you can attend to learn a little bit more about what's happening in the online world. On behalf of Hard Factora, I am Steve Dotto. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.
Dotto Tech is brought to you in part by London Drugs. Nobody does it better, except maybe you.